content. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the hour. We thank you for the revelation, Lord, of this last day message. We thank you for the message and the messenger. And Lord, we thank you for your bride. Lord, the throne of God in this last day. Lord, the manifestation of your word going forth into all the world. And Lord, we ask you would just bless each one this morning. Those that are here, those that are not able, Lord. Lord, that you would just speak to every heart. And Lord, that you would let us get out of the way. And Lord, that you might have your way, Lord. And Lord, we just commit the furtherance of this service now to you, asking the leadership of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Good to see each one this morning. And we have Eric with us this morning. It's been a while. We're glad to see him. And so we're happy for that. And we have Bosworth. And he's working, and we have our brother, who we've been missing him so much. The girls have been making it some, but he's been working, and now I guess they're working today. So, but we're glad that you're here. We have a visitor here. Is it Bob?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Bob, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. And so glad that you could come and be with us. Amen. And we have Curtis here with us. He's Curtis now. He's just becoming one of us. And so we appreciate that. And I want to say I had told you that I had met a man in Maiden, and his name was David Nixon. And he was going to come today. And he told me yes last night that he wasn't feeling well and that he would try to come next week. So just remember him. And so we're missing Brother Goomba this morning. I know that he was preaching this morning. And then he's in a meeting still, yeah. So I thought he probably would, because that I knew it was going to go long. After he preached, then he was going to, they were having some meetings there online. And so he's busy working for the Lord. And so we just want to remember him, that the Lord will bless him and give him words to speak that will help the people that he's ministering to and the meetings that they're conducting. Now, I just thought I would mention now we're looking forward to the Easter meetings coming up. That's going to be April 1st, which is Wednesday through Sunday. It'll be every evening at 7 p.m. And then the last one will be Sunday morning. And it's going to be right over here at Reveal Word Tabernacle. And so we're looking forward to that, that the Lord will just give us a great visitation. Amen. And give us the spiritual food. And so that's the thing that God has always done for his elect. And so now I took this title, and I'm going to the first part of this is going to be scripture, and it's going to be all be in the book of Revelations. And I'm going to just make one point, and it goes in here, okay, but could have made maybe two messages out of it, but I didn't want to take a lot of time on this first part. But when I was studying yesterday, I just seen the continuity of what the scripture says here. And, you know, a lot of times the only time we talk about the mark that is supposed to be upon the people in this last day is when we're talking about the mark of the beast, and that they're going to have a mark on their head, or they're going to have a mark in their hand, or they're going to have a chip that's going to be inside them different ideas that man has come up with, and so trying to interpret what the Bible says. And so they're taking what the Bible said, and then they're interpreting what they think it's going to be. And so that's how we came up with the word rapture, because the word rapture is not in the Bible. And so what they did, the scripture says a catching away. And so they interpreted that as a rapture. And so that's what we commonly use today. But many times man gets it wrong. And so, but the scripture is going to always be right. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life.
Amen.
And so that's where we want to be. We want to be in Him. We want to be in the Word. And if we don't know what the context is, or we don't understand what it's saying, we'll just say what He says.
Right.
Don't have to have a interpretation. Don't have to add anything. Don't have to take anything. Just say what He said and leave it there. And He promised that the Holy Ghost in you would lead you and guide you in all truth. That's the promise to the bride. And so as I was reading here, and the scripture is stating, when it's speaking of a mark or speaking of the name, it says in their foreheads. In. Doesn't say on. It says in. And what I noticed yesterday was the continuity of it, that it says the same thing every time. And not only is it talking to the Antichrist, but it's talking to three groups of people. And those three groups of people are those that reject. There are those that take the mark of the beast. The other is the 144,000. And the other, the third group, is the bride. And so there's three groups there that's being referred to having some type of something in their forehead. And if it's in your forehead, that means it's going to be in your mind. So let's start with Revelation chapter 7, and several chapters here, 7, 9, 13, 14, and 20, something like that. So we'll just go take our time here and just look at these one by one. So verse 3, Revelation chapter 7, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now that's the statement, in their foreheads. See, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So this group, this first group in Revelation 7, is the 144,000. And so this group, they're going to be sealed in their forehead. It's a sealing. It's a mark. In chapter 9, in verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
Amen.
And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, where when he striketh a man. Those that don't have the mark of God, the seal of God, in their foreheads, this group is going to be tormented 5 months as a scorpion sting. In chapter 13 and verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads.
Right.
Who is this group now? This is those that reject. And so they're going to be marked also, but they're refusing the mark, the seal of God, and they're taking another mark. And so we know what that is. So Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. See? And so there, now that's about our third one now. And he's saying here, this time, though, I want you to take note that it's speaking of the number of his name. The number of his name. And so it's referring to a name. It's referring to a person. And so this Antichrist group is going to take his name.
Yes, sir.
And so we'll find it's the same on both sides. And so and let me just take 1 minute for those of you that just came in. I put in here something that I noticed the continuity of in the scripture yesterday. And it's in the book of Revelations, several different places in the book of Revelations where it speaks of the mark of the beast or the seal of God, and that it is in the forehead. And that is consistent all the way through the book of Revelations. Over and over and over, he's speaking of it being in their foreheads. And so it's not on, as many churches interpreted, saying there'll be a mark on their forehead or there'll be a mark on their hand. That's what churches interpreted to say. But the scripture's consistently says in. It's going to be in. And so that, then now he's starting to identify not just the mark, but the name. The name being in. In their foreheads. In chapter 14, in verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, this is the second time he mentions 144,000. So there's three groups. 144,000, the Antichrist group, and then the bride group. And so those three groups, and all of them, or it's the same. They're all marked the same way.
Right.
It's going to be in their foreheads. In verse 9, chapter 14, and the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now, what all of them have in common is that they are all receiving a revelation.
Right.
Either God is revealing himself to them, and they're receiving the name of God, and they're identified in the name of God, and all that they do in word or deed, all that's in them, all that their mind and in their hands, is what they believe and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
The difference of Cain and Abel was, The Bible says now, not my idea. The Bible says it was revealed unto Abel,
right,
a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. So one of them had a revelation of the word, and the other one rejected the word.
Amen.
And so they were both marked right there. They were marked. One with a revelation of God, and that was counted to him as righteousness. The same as it was to Abraham. The faith of Abraham was counted unto him as righteousness. Because why? He believed God.
Amen.
And so the scripture tells us that no man can come to God except God draws you. And the Son draws you. And who's the Son? The Son is the Word.
Amen.
Who's the Father? He's the Spirit. Huh? God is the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
So God is the Word. He's both Spirit and He's Word. And He, God, became flesh.
Amen.
So, it's a revelation.
Right.
It's a revelation of God. Yes. God revealing Himself to you. And by that revelation, you are able to know God in the power of His resurrection. You are able to know God in the day that you lived in. And we can't stress the importance of that, because that's what happened in Noah's day. In Noah's day, God gave a revelation to one man. And that man was a prophet of God. And that revelation put Noah into action. And so by that revelation that came from God, and now this revelation that he had was completely contrary to all of nature, because it had never rained before in the history of the world. Amen. So God is telling his prophet something that had never been on the earth before. And so the scientists, so Noah could come and say, now it's going to rain and water's going to come out of the sky. And the scientists said, no, there's no way for that to happen. It's not possible for it to happen. The earth is watered by the dew that comes up. It comes up from the ground and waters the earth. And that was the way it was in the beginning. But now God is expanding. He's expanding his revelation. He's expanding what he had in his mind and how he would deal with the earth and how he would deal with the people. And so that revelation that he's now giving to Noah is given only to him, and it's going to go from him.
Yes.
Now that's how it is in every age.
Right.
You study your Bible. God chooses one man. He reveals himself to one man, and then that man begins to speak the revelation.
Amen.
That came from God. And then as he speaks that revelation, then God, by his Spirit, anoints it into the hearts of the people.
Right.
He doesn't come and speak to each one as he did to the prophet. That's not God's way.
Right.
He could have, but he could have just spoke from the sun or the stars or the sky, the clouds. He could have did anything he wanted to, but that's the way God chose.
Yes, sir.
And that's the whole Bible. The whole Bible is just like that.
Amen.
And so now God by revelation. And that's what it was in Jesus' day. All the way through the Old Testament, then Jesus comes on the scene, and one day he's talking with his disciples, and he's there, and he begins to rejoice. And the Bible said, in the Spirit. He began to rejoice in the Spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, because thou, the Spirit, has hid these things from the wise and from the prudent. Huh? And has revealed them.
Right.
Has revealed them to babes. Such as could learn. Huh?
Amen.
Who are those babes? Those are the elected, predestinated of God.
Yeah.
That God put his seed in. That God would quicken that seed in their day and hour.
Amen.
And everything outside of that predestinated seed would not believe it. No matter how simple. If they would have been just like Cain. And Cain, when he saw that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his was rejected, he became wroth. He became jealous. He became mad. Hatred rose up in him.
Yes, sir.
And what happened? God said, why are you upset?
Yep.
If you, God said, if you will do as your brother has done,
amen,
you'll be accepted too. But he couldn't do it.
Right.
He didn't have the seed. He didn't have the quickening power. He didn't have the life of God in him to make that word live.
Right.
Abel made it live.
Yep.
Abel manifested the promised word of that day.
Yes.
Moses manifested the promised word of that day.
Right.
And think that all of those that Moses was leading, that Moses was guiding, that God took a man. And the Bible said that this man was God to the people.
Yes, sir.
And God gave him another man, his brother, and said, he will be your prophet.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to speak to you lip to ear. You and I are going to talk just like men talk.
Yes.
I'm going to talk in a voice. You're going to hear me. You're going to hear my voice. You're going to talk back. We're going to talk back and forth. And then you are going to tell your prophet, Aaron, to go tell the people what you, the God of this people, said.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Read your Bible. God made Moses God to the people.
Right.
And he vindicated that. He vindicated it. When they came against Moses, his own sister got leprosy. When they come against what Moses told him to do in the battle, Moses, he opened up the earth and swallowed them up.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, they didn't like it. But it wasn't about them. It was God telling Moses. They said, you take too much on yourself. Think about that. That's the preachers today. Huh? We take too much. Preachers take too much upon themselves. They take this and then they'll read it and then they'll interpret it any way they want to interpret it.
Yes, sir.
That ain't going to work.
That's right.
You might have got by some of that stuff in another day. You won't get by with it today.
Right.
There's only one way today. Because God has once again, by the fulfilling of the scripture,
yes,
raised up a prophet that would be God to the people again. That a man that God could speak lip to ear. Think about that. That's a serious thing.
That's right.
That he could speak lip to ear.
Yes, sir.
And then that man would speak to the people and reveal what the scripture says, what the promise is for today.
Right.
That's the theme of the whole Bible. That was the theme of the whole Bible, is every prophet that came, he was revealing what God was doing in their day. And a very small group in that day believed what he said.
Right.
All the rest of them rejected it. They laughed at him. They made fun. Said, no, 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 no. In Noah's day. See, in some ages, many of those Old Testament prophets, they just went right on. Right? That was no change. They went right on saying what they believed, what they thought, blah, blah, blah. But in Noah's day, they didn't.
Right.
No, 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 no. In Noah's day, they didn't. In Noah's day, you either were on the ark or you were dead.
Yes, sir.
That was it. There was no second chances. There was no other way. See, that's what they want you to believe today, that all roads go to God. Every idea goes to God. No, it doesn't.
No.
God said there's one way.
Yes, sir.
That's what God said. Man said there's many ways. God said there's one way. God said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
That's right.
Only one. Not two, not three. Men have every kind. They have spiritual. They have sprinkling. They have dunking. They have this. They have that. They have every different kind of idea. Well, where do those ideas come from?
That's right.
They didn't come from here.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. Man's idea.
Right.
What man wants to do. Listen. Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. It's what you believe and it's what you're doing.
Amen.
If you believe Noah's message, you would be working on the ark.
Yep.
No two ways about it. You would have learned how to be a carpenter. Whatever Noah told you, you'd been working on the ark. See, that's what they tried to tell Jesus when he came. He said, if we would have lived in Moses' day, we would have believed Moses. He said, ah, ha, ha. He said, so you're admitting that you're the children of them that killed him. You're the children of them that killed the prophets.
Yep.
Huh? You're admitting that you're the ones. Yeah, they rejected in every age. Rejection, rejection, rejection. But God had a little group. And how did they know who the true messenger was? By revelation. How did they know what God was doing in their day? By revelation.
Yes, sir.
God comes on the scene, he reveals it. How did Abraham know? He revealed it.
Right.
How did Lot get separated and go down into Sodom? By lack of revelation. If Lot would have had a revelation, he would have never left Abraham.
That's right.
You think about that. I was thinking about that this morning. That he would have never left him.
That's right.
He would have said, this man is God's prophet.
Yes,
and this man, God is blessing.
Amen.
And see, and the problem was that Abraham loved Lot and he wanted the best for Lot. But then the servants kept fighting. If I would have been Lot, or if Lot would have been a true believer, Brother Bam said he was a make believer. a lukewarm believer. If he'd have been a true believer, he'd have went out there and he told his servants. He said, you keep the sheep away from the water hole until Abraham's sheep have drank. You don't argue with his servants. You don't argue with his shepherds. You don't do anything. You let them be first. That's what a real son of God would have did.
Right.
That's what a man who wanted to be in the presence of the prophet of God would have done.
That's right.
That's what he would have done.
Yes, sir.
But Lot was content to go down there into the cities. Huh? And it says his righteous soul was vexed daily.
Yep.
But he overrode that vexation and he stayed there.
Yes, sir.
And even after God sends two angels down there for the sake of Abraham, to bring him out, then he begs to go into another city.
Yep.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Consumed by his own lust. Verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day and night, nor who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The mark of his name.
Right.
They're receiving his name.
Yep.
And what are they? They're either receiving the revelation of the age that they live in. Remember, Moses came out of Egypt with 2 million people.
Yes, sir.
And they rebelled, and Jesus referred back and said, and they're everyone dead. Huh?
That's right.
Eternally separated. Only two that came out went in.
Right.
Is that right? God let them wander. They were a four-day journey into the promised land, and God let them wander for 40 years because of their unbelief. 40 years. And he let that generation die and raised up another generation to go into the promised land.
Yep.
Why? Because of their unbelief.
Yes, sir.
What happened in Jesus' day? What happened in Jesus' day? They formed denomination after denomination after denomination. Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians. One after another, they argued and bickered amongst one another. They each one thought they were the best. They thought they were, when the Messiah comes, he's coming to our church.
Right.
He didn't come to none of them. Not one of them. He came to his own. That's it.
Amen.
He came to the predestinated seed. The Pharisees rejected him. The Sadducees rejected him. The Herodians rejected him. The scribes rejected him. And all the rest of them rejected him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God is not in man-made religion.
Right.
He's not. People think they go, we're right back where they were 2,000 years ago. We're right back there again. We got thousands of denominations, thousands of ideas, thousands of different churches and theologies and everything else.
Right.
God is the living Word.
That's right.
He's the Word. That's what the Bible says.
Yes,
he is the living Word. And in every age, he has a promise, a word for that day.
Amen.
And so in every age, the Spirit of God comes on the Word of God for that day and quickens the Word.
Yes, sir.
And makes it alive. And it begins to live out.
Amen.
What did it do in Luther's day? Justification by faith.
Right.
What did it do in Wesley's day? Sanctification. What did it do at Pentecost? He promised in the last days, according to Joel chapter 2, that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? He would pour out the gifts again. He would pour out the Spirit of God. Did it happen in the early 1900s?
Yes,
it did. Absolutely. Great revivals started around the world.
Right.
Pentecost came. And see, what happened in every age was when God would pour out his Spirit and give them revelation for the day. Then the people gathered around that. God takes his elected seed, and man denominates the idea. Man begins to denominate. So they denominated Luther's message into the Lutherans. They denominated Wesley's message into the Methodists. They denominated the outpouring of the Spirit. They denominated into the Pentecostal church. Every time, that's what happens. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. Soon as he went off the scene, they began setting up man-made ideas. Paul talked about it in his day. Within 50 years of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost,
yes, sir.
He said the falling away had began. They had began to fall away from the true Word of God. By the time it got into the Dark Ages, in 325 AD, they started the Trinity doctrine that they were three separate distinct persons, they were all equally God, three different people. That don't even make sense.
Nope.
No.
That's right.
You can hold three different offices.
Yes, sir.
You can be a father, you can be a son, you can be a husband, but you're not three separate people.
That's right.
You're not three persons. You're the same person.
Right.
You have three offices. So as a husband, that's what you are to your wife. As a father, that's what you are to your children.
Yes, sir.
You can't, as a son, every one of those offices are specific.
Right.
They're specific. He had offices that he held. And this is what we're talking about. The third stage of his ministry today, there was different stages,
yes, sir,
of that ministry to be fulfilled by the Word of God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. See? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Where's his name going to be? Yeah, not written on their forehead. It's going to be in there. How's it getting in there? It's getting in there by revelation.
Yes, sir.
God revealing himself to his predestinated seed.
Amen.
That's how it is. And once you receive a revelation, then what do you do with your hands? Huh?
Right, right.
The life is living out.
Yes, sir.
You're not going out here and these hands are going to work in sin and in all that other stuff. No.
Right.
You're working for the Lord. You're working in righteousness. You're working in obedience to the Word of God. His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there. They need no night there. I'm sorry. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Amen.
He's talking about the book of Revelation. John is talking about this revelation that he's getting. And he's not saying like we say a lot of times, that oh, it's just a book of symbols and it's a book of this and that. No, what is he saying that it is? It's a book of prophecy. The book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. That's what it is. And that prophecy, as all prophecy, has to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Every prophecy has a day and an age that God, by his foreknowledge, seen that it was going to take place. And when that day come on the scene, that word was put here by the prophet, and it was written down. And then it was waiting for the Spirit of God, the Father, to come and anoint it in the day that it was to be revealed. And that was the end time. That's what it says, in the end time. And that's where we are, in the end time.
Yes, sir.
See? Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Isn't that something? This angel was so much like God that John's going to worship him. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Amen. And he said unto him, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now he says it again now. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now see, this is the last chapter. This is the finishing it up. This is where everything's coming to the climax. It's all being fulfilled. The seals are being revealed. The church ages are being revealed. The plagues are being revealed. The vials are being poured out. All of those things come in at the last days. And they've happened. Right. See? They've been happening all along. And the prophet has identified many of those things. What they are. When they happened. Amen. You study. You study. The message, you'll see some of those plagues, some of those things that were poured out. There's your vials, there's your plagues. Yes, sir. See, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I wish I'd have wrote it down. But I ran into a new word yesterday. And it was back in the 900s, 900s AD. And it was porn. It was porn, just like pornography. Pornocracy?
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. And so that word identified a period of time during the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was run by a bunch of prostitute harlot women. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it was, and they had that was the name. You look it up. You look it up when you go home. But that's what it was. And so that's what was running it at that time. And so that was that period of time. And it was in, so it was much later, it was 325 AD when the Trinity doctrine was started by the Catholic Church. But during that time, they were killing and murdering the Christians. And it was so bad. And I think part of what the word means is that when a ruler or a government, thank you, brother, when they rule by this type of, I don't want to use the word porn, but that's what it is. Harlots. They were just harlots. And so sex was rampant. It was out there. There was no shame. It was just open. It was just all filth. It was just filth and just a really bad open sex in those days. And it's not much better today. It's not much better today. But today it's more spiritual than it is on the natural side. Now it's spiritual adultery more so. And so that's what the prophet said. He said, when you put yourself out there, when you dress like that, and a man looks upon you to lust after you, you have committed adultery with him because you have presented yourself in that way. And so, verse 16. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit, listen now, listen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now this is the end time. This is when all this has been revealed now, and his throne has changed. He's left the Father's throne and he come and took his throne. And his throne is in the heart of the bride, in the believer today. That's where he's at. That's where Christ is at today, is in the bride. And now, so the word now is manifesting in her. That's where he's at. That's where he's living at. That's where he's manifesting. That's where the promises are today, is coming from the throne of God, which is in the believer today. Mm-hmm. See? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Right. What is it? It's free.
Amen.
That's free. And I got this thing come in my mind yesterday. I was reading, and I was thinking about those foolish virgins. And those foolish virgins, when they recognized that they didn't have the Holy Spirit, that they didn't have oil in their lamps, what does the Bible say they did? They came to them that had the Holy Spirit. They came to them that had oil.
Huh?
The oil represented the Holy Spirit. So these that don't have it now, they're coming to them that have it. Right? And what do they tell them? Do they give it to them? No, they send them to them that sail. Well, this thing is free. So, and I don't want to interpret it or misinterpret it, but this Holy Spirit, this life, is freely given by God to the elect.
Amen.
But these are being sent to those who sail. Now, there is a group, there is the churches, who's tried to sell it.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's for sale. And they can even sell, they can even go, you can even go pay the priest, and they can pray your lost loved ones out of hell.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah. And if they, you got some that are sinners and doing bad, you can do penance for them. You can pay the priest, and you're going to get them saved, according to the church. But that's not what the Bible says.
That's right.
But they sent them to them that sail. Why would they do that if they have it and it's freely given? Because if the seed is in there, you're going to be just like Abel. You're going to be just like Abel. You're going to receive the revelation. You're going to receive the seal of God. And the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. It's the life of God in you, living in you, acting in you, speaking through you. That's what it is. And for those that don't have that, they're getting the mark of the beast. They're getting the seal of Satan. They refuse the seal of God, and they are taking the mark of the beast. That's their revelation. It's revealed to them that the Catholic is right. It's revealed to them that the Pentecost is right. It's revealed to them that the Methodist is right.
Yeah.
It's revealed to them that whatever it is that they believe, that's the right one. That's their revelation.
Right.
And that's what they work for. That's what's in their hands. That's what's in their forehead. That's what they believe. That's what they stand for. Surely. But for the seed of God, they can only believe what God is doing.
Amen.
In their day.
That's right.
Huh?
Yep.
There was 8 people in Noah's day. But now, there's millions. There's been billions.
Yes, sir.
That say Noah was a prophet. That Noah had the word of God.
Right.
Well, it's all fine to say it today, but it don't mean anything today. Because he's not going to build an ark today.
That's right.
Mm-mm. No. Every religion, almost every religion today says that Moses was right. That he was the prophet. That Noah was right. He was the prophet. Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Every one of them. Every one of them. They're all right now. They're all good. They're all great. They're all wonderful. But they can't believe it today. They can't believe what God's doing today.
Right.
Same as it was in that day.
Yeah.
Every age is the same thing.
Yeah.
This thing takes a revelation from God. That's why Brother Branham said, you need to pray and ask God every day for revelation.
Yes, sir.
Say, God, reveal to me who you are. Who are you, Lord? You're the Word? Which word? There's thousands of words. There's thousands of ideas. There's thousands of churches. Which one are you, Lord?
Amen.
That's the revelation we need.
Not
follow me, not follow any other preacher, not follow a church, not follow a group. No.
Nope.
You and God. That's it. You and God in a relationship.
That's right.
You and God becoming one.
Yes, sir.
Did Abraham have a church group? Did he have a body? Did he have a bunch of people? No. He walked alone with God.
Right.
A lot of these prophets, they walked alone with God. There wasn't big crowds. Noah only got eight people.
That's right.
He got his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Is that right?
Yep.
Eight people. Think about it. One, two, three, four. Boom, in the whole world. One, two, three, four. In the whole world. Four women and four men in the whole world. Where did the rest go?
Right.
They rejected God in their day. Where did they go? What about Abraham's day? Huh? He was separated to God, and the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot.
Right.
Well, how many was saved in the days of Lot? It was three. Is that right?
Yep.
His wife started out, but she looked back. She didn't want to leave either.
Right.
So Lot and his two daughters, three people. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Lot.
Right.
He's the same God. He's the same God today. His word is the same today.
Yes, sir.
It's true. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Verse 18. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Huh? The prophecy of this book. That's right. That's what it is. It's prophecy. These things had to be brought to pass. If this is it, and there's plenty of people that, Bob, I don't know if you know, and Curtis is just finding out. Curtis just been here a few times. But what we believe is that God sent a prophet in this last day.
Yes, sir.
And that prophet's name was William Marion Branham. And that prophet is identified in the Bible.
Right.
We didn't even know that the scripture said that this prophet was coming until he came. And he identified himself in there. That's the same thing that happened when Jesus came.
Yes.
None of them knew that Psalm. It was Paul who got the revelation, went to the backside of the desert, got the revelation from God.
Right.
And he comes back and he tells the people, he said, look over here in Psalms. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Paul says, you see this prophecy? This is not just a psalm of David. This is the prophecy. And Christ said the same words when he was hanging on Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And he took them back. And he took them through everything Christ had done. And he showed them the scripture. He said, see here where the prophet said this. See where this other prophet said this. See this? And identified it word by word by word. Action by action by action.
Right.
The things that was done. It's always after. Huh?
Yes, sir.
No, everyone thinks, oh, well, everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's why they think they're going to recognize him today. Because they think he's going to come like he did 2,000 years ago. They said, as soon as I see him, I'm going to see those prints in his hand, and I'm going to know it's him. Anybody can do that.
Right.
Anybody can have scars in their hands.
Yes, sir.
That's not going to make it him. Only way you're going to know him is the way they knew him. By the word.
Right.
By the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
That's right.
That's what it says. That's the scripture.
Right.
That's right. So it's not going to be some impersonation. They can impersonate all of that. They can speak with tongues. They can have gifts. The Bible says that gifts and callings, that God can call somebody. They come without repentance.
Right.
You don't even have to be saved. And God can give you a gift.
Yep.
That's why we have so many false prophets. That's why the scripture says in Matthew 24, in the last days, there will be many false prophets.
Right.
So if the Bible promises us meaning,
yes, sir,
then you can be sure there's going to be a real one somewhere.
Amen.
And my invitation is this. If this isn't it, if William Branham isn't his prophet today,
yes, sir,
then who is?
Right.
Because the Scripture, the Bible, promised in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, promised in Luke 17, 28 through 32, promised in Revelations 10, 7, and many more places in the Bible, Matthew 17, Matthew 11, identifying the prophet in this last days. It's there. The same thing. Did they recognize it in Jesus' day? No, they did not. Why did they come to Jesus and say, the disciples, okay, these are the ones who believe Jesus, and they come to Jesus and they said, why do the scribes, why does this denomination over here say that Elijah will come first? And Jesus said, well, he will come first. But he's talking about the second coming. He's talking about this day. And then he says that I say unto you that he has come already. And they're like, we're looking for Elijah. And you're telling us he's already come? And then they find out that it was not the Elijah that had come before,
yes,
but it was the spirit of Elijah,
amen,
which is the spirit of God.
Right.
So the spirit of Elijah came again on Elisha. And then it came on who? Who did it come on? John the Baptist.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
Because the Bible says, then they understood that he was speaking of John the Baptist,
yes, sir,
being the Elijah. How about that? Mm-hmm. Then it was promised two more times. It was promised in the last day. And then Moses and Elijah was promised to Israel.
Right.
The spirit of Elijah is promised five times in the Bible. It's that easy. Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham, and Moses and Elijah to Israel.
Amen.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
The word's perfect.
Amen.
You just can't beat the word of God. It's perfect.
Right.
It's perfect every time. God don't miss. God don't mess up. He gets it. It's perfect. All right. This 30 minutes is turning into an hour. Where are we at? Verse 18. When I walk away, then it shuts down, and then I have to get it back. Okay. Once again, in verse 18, he says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, these prophecies, see, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If we add anything, this has got to be a fearful thing.
Right.
You can't add to it, and we cannot take away from it. Right. So whatever God reveals, and the Bible says that God is his own interpreter.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He interprets his own word. So if he's the one who's doing it, how is he doing it?
Right.
He's doing it by his spirit. That's the promise. And that spirit is to come upon a man anointed to be a prophet for the day and age.
Right.
That's the way God works. That's the whole Bible. Read it.
Yes, sir.
It's funny. In some ways, people are looking for a different God to do it different today when it comes to the pattern of his deliverance, delivering his word. But then they're expecting it to be the same when you speak of the coming of the Lord. So they're expecting that man that walked on the earth 2,000 years ago in that veil of flesh. Do you know that that's not the only veil of flesh that God has walked in?
Right.
Do you know in Abraham's day, he come down in a veil of flesh? Yeah, he just created a body. He stepped into it. He come down, visited with Abraham. And then the body was gone back to the dust again.
Right.
Huh? What did he do in Jesus' day? He put a seed and an egg in a woman, and she took in the food. She was the incubator, and it brought forth a body. And then God, the Creator, come down in that piece of flesh.
Amen.
And was God living in that flesh? Yes, He was. But was that body a supernatural body? Was that body itself God? No, it wasn't. The purpose of that body was so God could die.
Right.
And God can't die.
That's right.
So He made a body that could die.
Yes, sir.
See, if that body would have been supernatural, then it couldn't have died.
Right.
The purpose of that flesh and that blood, the only difference was that was created. That was the created blood of God.
Yes.
That was God speaking creation into that woman. Both the seed and the egg. Wasn't part Mary and part God. No, it was all God.
Amen.
That's where the denominations get it wrong. That's where the Catholics get that wrong too, just like they do most of the rest of it. Huh? God put both in there. That was the Son of God. That was the spoken seed word. That's exactly what Adam was.
Yes, sir.
Adam was the spoken seed word of God.
Right.
Did Adam die? He absolutely did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Huh? But he was the creation of God.
Yep.
But the life that was in him, don't miss that. The life that was in him couldn't die. The life that was in Jesus couldn't die. Because it was God Himself.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Listen, here's what I'm going to get to in verse 11. 22, 11. Did we read? Yeah, so he said there in 19, you can't add to it, you can't take away. So we must believe it just like it is, just like it is. Listen to this now. This, and I took this out of the middle and brought it to the end because this is where we're going to turn and go another direction. So he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Huh? He that's unjust, let him be unjust still. Now, we're at the end now. This is the finish. And he's saying, if you're unjust, don't try to change it. Let him which is unjust, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that's holy, let him be holy still. So this comes a time. There comes a time that you're just what you are.
That's right.
And there's not going to be no more changing. There's not going to be no more opportunity to change.
That's right.
Get that? And that's exactly what happened on Calvary when Jesus paid the price. What did He do? He went into hell. And He preached to those that were lost.
Right.
That could never be saved. That's right.
Amen.
They had to hear this. See, it was being prophesied in their day of what God was going to do. But they refused the prophet that came in their day to bring them along in that revelation. So now, he goes to those in hell and he tells them, I'm the one. I'm the one Moses spoke of. I'm the one that Jeremiah spoke of. I'm the one that Ezekiel spoke of. Isaiah. Everyone. I'm the one. And I paid the price. And you rejected it in your day.
Right.
Huh? You rejected it in your day.
Right.
It's not going to be about, oh, and I'm going to accept it someday. No, you're going to accept it when you hear it.
Yes.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in your day.
Right.
I added that part. But it's in there. It's in there. You can be sure. Yes. 13. I am the Alpha, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And I looked that up yesterday, and I've heard this before, but I don't think I'd ever looked it up. But Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So that's what this is being written in. So The first letter to the last letter. He's saying, that's me. The beginning and the end. The beginning, John 1:1, Genesis 1.
Right.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the beginning. And in the end, he's the end of it. He's the finish of it. And then, so he's saying the same thing three times. Is that right? He's saying the same thing three times. The first and the last. There's your modern. He's the beginning of it. He's the ending of it. He's all of it. And that's the real revelation today. That there's nothing we could do to be saved. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy or righteous. It's all that he did, and he did it before the foundation of the world. He did it before the world. He chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That's right. And in the day that you live, when you hear the messenger from God in your day, you will either accept it or you'll reject it. It'll either jump at you and it'll be so real to you, or it'll just be the words of another man. Like it won't mean anything to you. That's the difference. It's that simple. It was that simple to Cain and Abel. It was just to Cain. God revealed it to him, and he did it. He just followed through. And just think now how it's always unusual when God is moving to do something. Because you remember, Abel killed the first lamb.
Right.
Or he killed the second lamb. Because God covered Adam and Eve with skins.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Yes.
With skins. He covered them with skins. So now here, God has showed them, this is it. So now Abel comes and he kills a lamb. Now there was no killing. Nobody was killing. Nobody had said, this is it. No, this was strictly a revelation that come from God to Abel. That's right. Oh, that's just so beautiful. All right, so here we're going to take a little turn now. And that just took exactly twice as long as I expected it to. And so I really, for a very unusual thing on Wednesday night, I didn't bring enough to finish. And I didn't talk as much as I thought I would. And so this morning, that is not the case. I have enough here for us to last hours. So we know we won't get it done this morning, but we're going to start on it, and then we'll pick it up at some point in time. So this quote right here, now what I'm going to be reading now is from the prophet, William Branham, and things that he said. And this first thing is something that I got off of one of the groups yesterday that I thought was remarkable, because I've heard this more than one time of things that people said that the prophet thought was astounding or worthy, and he began to expand on it. He began to preach on it. And so I remember one of the things that Brother Holmes talked about one time when he was talking to Brother Branham, was in an interview with Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, I can't remember exact wording, but I'll paraphrase, that he believed that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was believing the message of the age. And he said, Brother Branham was looking at Sister Holmes and said, Brother Branham turned around and looked at him and said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so in this case, it's Brother Neville. Brother Neville is making an astounding statement. And so I want to read this, and then I'm going to go to where Brother Branham furthers talking about this thought. And so I'll just let him tell you what it is. This is in 1959, without money or without price. And so you know, for those of you who don't, Brother Branham was with us from the early 1900s to 1965. In 1965, he went off the scene and he left us this message. And in this message, there was a great gift of healing that went around the world. All of the ones you've seen, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and the different ones, those things came from, or especially all of the, Billy Graham didn't go praying for the sick. He didn't have that type of ministry, but Oral Roberts did, and some of the different ones. They were had great healing campaigns, and that went around the world. And so, but it was instigated, began from the prophet, and so. But the thing that people fail to recognize, and it was many years before I recognized it, is that when God sends a gift, and I want you to listen to this, when God sends a gift on the earth, then it's a sign. It's a sign to the people. And so when Jesus came, he came with a gift, and it was a sign to the people. But what that means is, that with every sign, there's a message that follows. And so there's let me simplify that. This is in my own words, is that there is a portion of the Bible, the scripture, that's to be revealed. And that messenger reveals that portion in their day. That's what they come for. Every prophet, you just study your Bible, it's there. They come and they reveal something for their day, maybe that another prophet said, and now it's happening. And that Paul did a lot of that, but different ones did the same thing. And then they'll always do this. They'll also prophesy of something's going to happen in the future. So they're revealing what this prophet back here said, because now it's happening. They're saying, what he said, that's this now. This happening right now. And then he'll begin to speak. Like Paul brought to them the Messiah, and all the signs of the Messiah and all the things that he'd done, revealed all of that to him. And then he began to speak in the future. He began to tell him, he said, now, Christ is not coming back until first there be a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. And he starts listing these things that's in the future. After he gets done revealing what was spoken in the past. And so every prophet's like that. And so that's the thing we don't want to miss out. So let's read. Now, no doubt many of you read Khrushchev. He was the leader way back there in the 50s. His statement to the UN the other day. And as it was quoted to me from a Canadian paper by a friend, he said, if there, and you know the Russians are agnostic, they don't believe in God, most of them don't. And so this was an outstanding statement. So, but this also testifies that they know the scripture. Listen. He said, if there be a God, he's ready to wipe and clean out the temple again. Huh? Again. So here is this unbeliever, because he's saying, if there's a God, he's going to wipe out the temple again. So he's referring to something God has done in the past. Huh? So he's going to clean out the temple again with you capitalists. Like he did in the beginning. See? So now you can read between the lines. He's ready to wipe out the temple again. Who's ready to wipe it out? Right. Khrushchev. The Russians. Yeah. This is back in the 50s. Huh? And you know there was real tension back then. If you go back in American history, there was real tension. There was a big push for communism, for these different things. There was a big push during that time. And so and we think now there's nothing there. Oh, it's still there. It's still there. Yeah. And it'll be just like the Bible said, when they say peace, peace, right. It said, then comes sudden destruction. Yeah. And it will be sudden when it comes. See, that's awful. A communist would have to say a thing like that. He had something, though. That's right. It was the capitalist in the beginning that caused the trouble. And we are the capitalists, America. See? Now, just that's just a little by the way. Now, here's what we're after. Paragraph 22. And I heard our dear brother, beloved pastor, Brother Neville, make a remark on his radio cast the other morning that just went over and over in my mind. And I just can't forget it. I quoted it to a friend of mine last night. And that was this. After the taking away of the Holy Spirit out of the earth. I want you to listen close to this now. Once the Spirit of God leaves the earth, that formal church religion will go right on not knowing the difference. Why? How could that be possible? Why wouldn't they know the difference? Because they don't know him.
Right.
They don't know him. So they won't know when he's gone.
Right.
There's the same group now. It's the same group that in Revelation 3, he's put out of the church. Is that right? And the scripture said he was knocking on the door to get back in.
Right.
Huh? But he was put out. He was put out. So why would they put him out? Because, how did they put him out? Because he's the Word.
Yes.
They put the Word out. And by putting the Word out, they put him out.
Amen.
So they don't know who he is.
Yes, sir.
So when they were putting him out of their churches, they didn't even know they were putting him out.
Right.
So they don't know the Word of God and they don't know the Spirit of God.
Amen.
See, how many heard that? See? Let me back up. I want to repeat it. After the taking away of the Holy Spirit out of the earth, that formal church religion will go right on not knowing the difference. See? And wasn't that astounding? They don't know the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So they won't know when it's gone.
Yes, sir.
See? They'll just be going right on just the same. And when the last one is sealed into the body of Christ, huh? They'll still be going on, trying to bring converts to it, because they don't know what it is. Praise be to God. Now, this is a really powerful statement. And the prophet now is going to take this in the years to come, and this thought is going to continue right on and on and on.
Right.
And it's going to come right down to redemption being finished. It's going to come right down to the blood off the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. That time had to come. It had to come because it's the prophecy. It's the prophecy in the book of Revelations in chapter 5 and 6 that he would change his ministry. For 2,000 years, he was a mediator interceding with his blood. But there was coming a day when that blood covenant, that everlasting covenant, was going to finish according to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, it was an everlasting covenant. That meant from beginning to end. It began there at Calvary, and it ends at the end of the seventh church age.
Right.
And so from there, then it is a spirit covenant. It is the Holy Spirit is the token today.
Yes,
and so that's the difference. So he's not in that ministry that he was in for 2,000 years. He's in another ministry. And this ministry is in the fullness of the Word, the fullness of the revelation, the fullness of the Spirit of God. See? So they don't know. They don't know. They'll just keep going right on the same. And when the last one is sealed into the body of Christ, they'll still be going on, trying to bring converts to it. Because they don't know what it is. And their formal religions will continue on just like they were. Now, it may not sink into you like it did to me. This is the prophet now. You know it sunk in. But that was really an astounding statement. See? That they'll be so far away just in religious rituals.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yet they'll come together. They'll say, repent, be baptized. You get a letter. You go to this church. You're one of our members. You're this. You're that. Come for the Lord's Supper. Come for the foot washing. Do this, do that. Huh? Or if you're not in the Protestant and you're with the Catholics, then you'll come and you'll watch the priest with his candles and his incense, and he'll walk around and he'll do this, and he'll take a little bit of water and he'll just do this and carry his incense, and he'll flake a little smoke over on you and flake a little smoke on you. What is it? Can you read it in there? It's not in there, is it?
No.
No. But you know, people are taken by it.
Yes.
People are like, they see him in those robes and those chains, you know, mm-hmm. and he'll have some little bells and he'll just be making a little noise with those chains. And he's just swinging that thing just right. You know, he's got it just down pat, just right. And people think, oh, this is so spiritual. It's the devil.
That's right.
It's the devil.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's the devil. Yeah, don't let Satan tell you nothing else. It's the devil.
That's right.
I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how special it seems. I don't care about none of that. It's the devil.
Yes, sir.
And unless you are believing all of the Word of God, then it ain't going to do you no good.
Right.
See, they'll just be so far away just in religious rituals until they will not, they'll not miss the Holy Spirit. They won't miss that He's gone. Huh? Because they don't know what it is to begin with.
Right.
Praise be to God. God have mercy, brother. I'd like to live in this life. Let me drop down. Can you get down to the blue? Yeah, right there. He said, yes, sir. For there will be no blood on the mercy seat. It'll be dark and smoky and black. The sanctuary will have no lawyer there to plead our case at that time. What's the lawyer? He's the intercessor.
Right.
Huh? The mediatorial. The mediator. Yeah. No, he's not in that ministry.
Amen.
He's around, but that's not what he's doing.
That's right.
No, because he's done, gave you the revelation. He's done revealed the church ages. He's done revealed the seals. He's done revealed the seven thunders. He's done revealed the whole Bible, the whole book of Revelation. He's done revealed the whole thing.
Right.
Now, it's out there. It's made known. You know, if some church could just have the right advertising and could put it out there and said, we got all the answers. We got every answer to every question in the Bible. We got all the mysteries are revealed in our church. The people would flock. They would flock to it.
Right.
But when God takes a nobody,
yes,
He
sir.
Takes a nobody. Huh?
Amen.
And He reveals all of that. And the people look at that and they start looking at the way the man was dressed. And they looked at his education. And they looked in. So I was telling some people the other day, they were going on about, we were talking, and Curtis and I had been talking about homeless people. And I told this guy, I said, you know, this guy was discrediting the word of a homeless person. And I said, oh. I said, this other person over here, he owns a home. And he said the same thing. I said, so I guess you could believe him since he owns a home. I said, and by the way, I said, did you know that John the Baptist didn't have a home?
Right.
Did you know John the Baptist was a homeless guy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he lived in the woods. Yeah.
Right.
So if he lived in the woods, that means he probably didn't have all the facilities, didn't have a washing machine, didn't have a shower,
right.
Didn't have a lot of things. I said, and you know, it's a pretty safe assumption that Jesus didn't have a home either.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Because he was talking about it one time and he said, you know, the foxes have dens and this animal has this and this animal has that. And he says, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head.
That's right.
And that's something. But he's pretty credible to a certain group of people.
Right.
John the Baptist, even though he didn't dress nice, he didn't have education, he didn't have any of that. He was really credible to a group of people.
Yes.
To a special group of people.
That's right.
That God was revealing himself. That this nobody, this uneducated, badly dressed, his grammar was not good. He didn't have a good diet. He ate something that we'd have a hard time eating.
Right.
And said he was forerunning the coming of Christ.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
I love it. You know, once you get in it, mm-hmm. You know, when you first start off, you know, you're kind of, this. I was a young Christian, when I first come to the message. And actually, the thing that set me on fire was the fact that this was different than all the churches. And this was what was in the Bible. That's what got my attention. And so, but then it didn't take long, and I realized the whole world's against God.
Yes, sir.
The whole world. You take thousands and thousands of denominations, and they're really, you start telling them the truth, and they don't want it. Mm-hmm. Now, you can all get together and just talk about good things and simple things and say, oh, God is good, God's wonderful, God's a healer, and Everybody's amen, amen, amen. And then you come along and you say something about, Eve didn't eat an apple. It was sex.
Yep.
It was sex, yeah. Her and Adam got together and the serpent, the three of them. And what happened? They didn't produce a bunch of apples. They produced two sons.
Yep.
Two sons. And one of them was the son of Adam and the other one was the son of the devil.
Right.
That's the Bible. Yeah, you have to get all the way. In the Old Testament, the genealogy shows that Seth was the son of Adam.
Yes.
But nowhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament will you find Cain in Adam's genealogy.
Right.
But you will find in 1 John chapter 3 Cain's genealogy.
Yes, sir.
It says he was of the wicked one.
Right.
That's his genealogy. Yeah. Because
yep.
He's not in Adam's, nowhere. And it's listed over and over.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not just a mistake or an omission or, you know, God failed. No. No. It was sex. It was adultery.
Right.
It was adultery. That's the reason Jesus had to come by a virgin birth.
Yes.
Because it was sex.
Right.
That's the reason.
Amen.
Oh, let's drop down here a little bit to verse 56. Now, just a perfect type of today, the same thing. And now that same thing, that perfect type, is when death was striking Egypt. That's what he's talking about. I've dropped off a couple of paragraphs there for time. And so when they were getting ready to go out, one of the last plagues was the death of the firstborn. And they were given away. They were given away. Listen to this now. They were given away that there would be no death in their house.
That's right.
And that way was to take the blood and put it on the door. So put it on the lintel. And if you build, you know that the lintel is across the top. That's the lintel. And the posts are the sides.
Right.
And so the posts on the sides hold up the top. They get under it and they hold it up. So they put it on the lintel and the post, and it makes like a cross. And so the Bible said in Moses' day, if they put that blood on the lintel and the post, then the death angel will pass over that home.
Right.
Now, it didn't say this is only for Israel.
That's right.
No. This was for anybody who would believe it.
Yes.
This is for anybody who would obey it.
Right.
And so all of those who obeyed, the death angel passed over.
Right.
And nobody died in that home. And every home that did not obey, the Bible says there was weeping and wailing in all of Egypt. All.
Yes, sir.
So they failed to obey. So now the prophet is saying, just a perfect type of today. What? The token. Huh?
Right.
That was the token in that day. That's what God wanted. That was God's requirement. A perfect type of today, the same thing. Every spiritual happening and every spiritual sign is a warning from God. Oh, think about it now. Look at what's happening in the world right now. It's all a sign from God. It's a warning from God. See? Every spiritual sign, a warning from God, that something is fixing to take place. If the sign comes from God, if it's man-made, there's nothing to it. But if it's God-sent, anyone knows. Everyone knows that God sends a sign.
Right.
If it's a supernatural sign, he sends a message with that sign. Praise be to God. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to keep you long, but just I want you to stay with me just a little bit longer. If you're tired, just try to hold on just a minute or two longer, okay? If it's a supernatural sign, if you read about this prophet, and we got some books right here. We got some books right here. A prophet visits South Africa. We got a man sent from God. Read some of these supernatural things that happened in this day. The dead was raised to life. The blinded eyes was opened. Flesh was created. The lame was made to walk. Leprosy was healed. Cancer was healed. Every kind of disease. And that prophet had a sign. He had a gift. And that gift, as Moses, who stuck his hand into his bosom, and when he pulled it out, it was leprous. It was leprous. And he put it back in there and pulled it out, and it was clean. It was pure. That's the Bible. This prophet, William Branham, he could take you by the hand. You put your hand in his hand. And if you had any type of germ disease, it would give him a different pulsation, and he would know what it was. And then he would pray for you, and he would take your hand again, and if it was gone, he would tell you it's gone. And if it wasn't, then God, for some reason, seen it not fit to heal you. But tens of thousands, it was very rare for someone not to be healed when he prayed, but not everybody was healed. There's no promise of that in the Bible. So he took them by the hand, revealed what was wrong with them, and then asked them to believe. If they could believe, then they were healed. Then the next gift that he had, and it came later in his ministry, he had three stages of his ministry, just as Jesus had three stages of his ministry, just as Moses had three stages of his ministry. Then he come and was able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he, that gift that was given to him, somebody stand before him, he could tell you things in your life that only you knew. Somebody he'd never known, never met, he could tell you what your name was, tell you where you lived, tell you what was wrong with you, tell you whatever God wanted to reveal at that moment. And that was tens of thousands of times. And it's in print. And it's in print by different men, ministers that were in those meetings, that was a part of that campaign, that seen it with their own eyes.
Right.
That's the thing we want, is an eyewitness. So it's there. And God testifying that these things were truth. But there's something greater. There's something greater than the healing. There's something greater than blinded eyes being opened. It's when your spiritual eyes are opened.
Yes.
It's when you can receive the message of the hour. That's right. The natural is fine, but even if you're laying there crippled and going to die and God raises you up, you're still going to die.
Right.
But eternal life, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one you want. And that comes by, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, God sends a sign. If it's a supernatural sign, he sends a message with that sign. Always does. He never fails to do that. See, we see things that's not signs of God. And then it won't be nothing because God isn't in it. But when God is in it, a message is going to follow that. And that message must be from the scripture. Are you listening?
Amen.
It can't be anything else. See, if it's man-made, it's not going to be here. But if it's from God, it's going to come right out of the pages of the Bible. It's going to make the Bible live in our day.
Yes.
That's what's happened. See, but when God is in it, the message is going to follow that. And that message must come from the scripture. That must be a scriptural message. It must come, thus saith the Lord. Every spiritual happening is a sign from God. That's right. Praise God. Paragraph 57. Like the message and the signs following in this day, like it was in the days of other days that we passed through in Bible times. No other time could this ever be till now. No other time could this message ever come forth till now. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Huh? Remember that. That's the scripture. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The message could not be till now. The world wasn't in the condition as until it is now. Think about what he's saying. Jesus could not come until the world was in the condition that they needed to be in. That's when it was predestinated. That's when it was ordained. That's what it was waiting for. The Moses couldn't have gone down to Egypt until the time was right. He couldn't have gone down there in another day, in another hour. No, the time was right. It was perfect. And God anointed his word and began the deliverance. See, paragraph 58. See, the sleeping virgin coming in, trying to buy oil. That is at the time when the bride went in. And the rest of them was left there. Did you ever think what was happened? What happened? Huh? Did you ever think about that? While the cry went out to arise and trim your lamps. Is that right? And they arose and they trimmed their lamps. And if you, for those of you maybe who have heated with oil or a lantern, then you know if you leave a lantern in the night, in the morning it gets dim and it gets caked over and you have to trim it. You have to clean it off and you have to adjust it because it's burnt down. And so you arise and trim the lamp and you make sure you got oil, see, and you lift the wick and it brightens up and lightens up the house. Is that right? Did you ever think what happened? They went right ahead preaching and thinking that they were getting souls saved and everything and did not know it, see? They knew nothing about it. The church will go on thinking souls are being saved and everything else. And the church is already, the bride, sealed away. And they don't know it. They don't know it. What happened when Jesus come? They had Moses' law. They had a sacrifice. They had the lambs and the goats and the bullocks and the pigeons and the turtle doves and all these different commandments of ways to worship God. But it came in that day that would no longer be accepted by God. Right. Think about that. Somehow or another, when they were studying their Bible, they missed Jeremiah chapter 31 that said, I'll give unto you a new covenant. Not that same old covenant, not the same old sacrifices. No, I'm going to give you a new covenant. There's going to be a new covenant. That's what God promised in this day, a new covenant. Noah went into the ark, see, and God sealed it out. What did he seal out? The world. Once God closed the door, and the Bible says God closed the door, nobody else could get in. And nobody that was sealed in, that mark, huh? Just like we read a while ago, that mark in their forehead, that mark in their hands, nobody could get in and nobody could get out. Right. Think about it. And then it went for 7 days.
Yes,
7 days, nobody could get in. 7 days, nobody could get out. It was a testimony against the world. Judgment was set.
Amen.
Judgment was set. And that's what he's talking about here. No, it was finished. It was done. Redemption was over.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And yet everybody went right on. Preaching, marrying, feasting, living in sin, doing everything they had done.
Right.
And they kept right on doing it, not knowing that the judgment of God was waiting right there.
Yes, sir.
Nobody else could be saved. Nobody could be lost. Nobody could do anything but wait.
Amen.
During that impending judgment.
That's right.
Noah went into the ark. God sealed it out truly. And the time will come when men and women will cry to God and even think that they got something when they haven't got it. That's exactly right. The scripture speaks that. That's the Bible. That's exactly right. And you can't stop it. This thing's in motion. This thing's in motion. The only thing you can do is get on board with God. You can't join a church. You can't join a man. You can't join a preacher. You can't join anything but God.
Right.
That's the only thing. You can just surrender to God and let Him, walk with Him.
Amen.
That's right. God help us. God help us. Let us stand together. I'm going to ask Michael to just give us a song, lead us in a song before we close out this morning. And you be in prayer one for another. There's many needs among us. I won't try to name each one, but just remember one another. Just pray that God will have his way, and then that this that God will help us, each one, to speak and let this word live out from us, and that you'll be the salt, and that somebody will be thirsty.
Amen.
And he said, he that's athirst, let him come. Let him come. That's what happens. You hear, when God starts speaking, then it just does something to the seed of God. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. Bless you, brother. Bless you.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. God speaking to us and receiving his revelation. And it's a mark. It changes you. Your hands work differently. Your legs work differently. Everything about you is different. And so we appreciate that. I got this.
I got it.
Let's remember Sister Rhonda in our prayer. Not feeling well this morning. We miss her. We miss Brother Richard and Sister Edith.
So,
I want to say thank God I'm free. I'm trying to find it. Are you free this morning? Free from this world? If you're not, you can be.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad I found out that he could bring me out through his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. And I'm so glad I found out that he could bring me out, show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad I found out that he could bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. And I'm so glad I found out that he could bring me out, show me the way. One more time. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad I found out that He could bring me up, show me the way.
Brother Bosworth, will you come dismiss us in a word of prayer? Amen. Remember one another in your prayers, and always listen to that still, small voice. Bless you, brother.
Bless you all. Let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord Father, for the gift of life this morning that we had, Lord Father, and the health, Lord Father, that we had in our bodies, Lord Father, and we were able to come together to dine in your word, Lord Father, in this place. And Lord Father, we are humbled and we glorify your name for that, Lord Father. We know there are those that couldn't make it, Lord Father. We've had Sister Rhonda not feeling well, Lord Father. We commit her in your hands, Lord Father. She's been a good sister, Lord Father, to us. And whatever the devil is cooking, Lord Father, pray, Lord Father, that you may intervene. You bless our heart, Lord Father, and give us strength that we may service, Lord Father, and worship you, Lord, for the next time together. Our brother, Lord Father, Brother Gumba, has been service to you, Lord Father. Remember him in your prayer, Lord Father. Give him strength, Lord Father, in whatever he does, Lord Father. In every footstep that he takes, Lord Father, we pray that you may bless him, Lord Father. Bless his family, Lord Father, also, Lord Father. Be it Brother Richard, Lord Father. He's been your servant, Lord Father, for long, Lord Father. And just like Job, Lord Father, the devil came and asked for permission, Lord Father, to touch your servant, Lord Father. But you said, Lord Father, do not touch his soul, Lord Father. The same, Lord Father, with Brother Richard, Lord Father. Whatever happened, Lord Father, we know, Lord Father, that his soul, Lord Father, still belongs to you, Lord Father. And we know, Lord Father, that one day, Lord Father, he will walk in, Lord Father, just like he used to walk in, Lord Father, through those doors, Lord Father, healthy, Lord Father, and in good spirit, Lord Father. We pray that you may bless him, Lord Father, and his wife, Lord Father. Yeah. You said, Lord Father, that a man, if he found something good, he'll find a good wife, Lord Father. And you showed, Lord Father, Brother Richard, Lord Father, and he's lived that, Lord Father, and you gave him a good wife, Lord Father, Sister Edith, Lord Father, who's been strong, Lord Father, in this word, Lord Father, and he's been taking care of him, Lord Father. And we pray, Lord Father, that you may remember her, in, Lord Father, whatever she's going through, Lord Father, give her strength also, Lord Father, for she's also your servant, Lord Father. Those, Lord Father, that I cannot remember, Lord Father, those who are far away, Lord Father, that couldn't make it also, Lord Father, we pray, Lord Father, that next time they may walk through those doors, Lord Father, we may dine together, Lord Father, in the message of this day, Lord Father. We're thankful, Lord Father, for the preaching, Lord Father, of your word. We've seen, Lord Father, your hand. You've talked, Lord Father, through the mouth, Lord Father, of your servant, Brother Dawn, Lord Father. Pray that you may bless him, Lord Father, also. The next time, Lord Father, you may use him as your vessel, Lord Father. Be with us throughout this week, Lord Father, as we depart from this place, Lord Father. Be with us, be with each and every one of us, Lord Father. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen.